إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون. وقال تعالى ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. وقال تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, friends and sisters, first of all, it's the first time somebody's invited me on a Valentine's Day to give a talk. So something quite new for me. Although I've spoken on things like zina before, but this is something quite different, which Brother Luqman gave me a call almost a month ago, which I completely forgot about until he reminded me yesterday again that I've got to come and give a talk to that DMU. So I'm going to try my very, very best to inshallah enlighten all brothers and sisters, inshallah, things which we should know regarding Valentine's Day and things which will come helpful to all of us, inshallah ta'ala. Rather than a bayan or a lecture, it's more of a sort of discussion, shall we say. I'm not here to lecture people. It's a bit of nasihat, a bit of advice for myself as well and for yourself as well. And Allah, we pray at the end of it that Allah give all of us a tawfiq to practice upon what's going to be said, inshallah ta'ala. Respected brothers and elders, in this time and age where we live, and respected sisters, this time and age where we live in, is a time where we are tested almost to the max at the moment. In all sorts of forms, in all sorts of ways, different kinds of pressures, different kinds of temptations, different ways, different traditions, different styles, different fashions, different ways going around us all the time. And as we're growing up, our parents have told us that at home, as we're going to madrasa, and our parents give us that advice as well, that our way is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our deen is Islam, our kitab is the Holy Quran, and our way is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as we grow older, we see different ways, we see different styles, we see different fashion, different trends, all sorts of things. And some of these look very, very appealing indeed. And they look very, very attractive, very, very nice from the outside. It looks very, very attractive and very, very nice. But the thing is, once you go inside this trend and inside this fashion, inside this style, respected brothers and sisters, the truth is and the haqiqat is, you won't find no chain, sukoon, you won't find no peace, tranquility, you won't find anything of it at all. What you will find, yes, it looks very nice, it looks very pleasant, it looks very nice, everything from the outside, but from inside, there is nothing to it, it's all hollow, all hollow. That's why a lot of these times you might hear in the news and television or in the radio, newspapers, that you get so many of these pop stars, you get some of these footballers, you get some of these actors and actresses who have everything of the world. Allah's given them everything from the asbab al-dunya, from things of the world. But despite that, they have to go for a rehab, sometimes they have to go to the clinic, sometimes they have to go for places where they can get some kind of sukoon, some kind of chain, some kind of peace of heart, tranquility. But when you look at their lifestyle, they've got all the money in the world. They've got millions and millions of pounds. They've got mansions, they've got cars, they've got whatever they want, they've got it. But what they don't have, respected brothers and sisters, which we have, what they don't have, which we have, is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And that makes, this is the difference between us, respected brothers and sisters, and the people who don't have Iman at La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Despite them having everything, in reality they don't have anything at all. And we, as Muslims, maybe we might not have the cars, or the luxuries of this world, or the bounties of this world, or the ni'mats of this world, but what we have is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, which is the greatest ni'mat in this world. If anybody can say to me, Mawlana, I know something better, by all means you can tell me if you think there's anything better. But I guarantee you, mia fil mia, 100%, that you won't find anything greater than the ni'mat of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest ni'mat. But people will try things, or people will try to maybe tempt us away from this. And today's, well, I've come here for Valentine's to give this talk. Valentine's Day, respected brothers and sisters, this is something which is un-Islamic. That's one thing guaranteed. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Madinatul Munawwara after he migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived there. The people used to celebrate 2 days. They used to have 2 days of celebration there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala has given us 2 days of celebration called Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. These other days of celebration, it is not part of Islam. So that was completely wiped out when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara. And the 2 days of Eid were given for Muslims to celebrate throughout the whole year, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. These are our 2 days of celebration which we have throughout the whole year. Apart from that, respected brothers and sisters, there are no other days of celebration for us. Many Muslims think, well, Maulana, we live in England. We live in a place where there's many Christians, you get Jews and also, so maybe we should sort of, you know, mix with them and be like them and try to, you know, we've got to show that we're living in their country. Brothers and sisters, we can live in a country, but it doesn't mean that we have to actually take up their ways and take up their fashions, take up their trends, take up their styles. No, when we have something greater than them, we have something even better than them. And like I said earlier, we have Islam, we have the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These verses were revealed before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, not too long. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That Islam is now complete. No new things, no old things, no changes, nothing at all. And اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today I've completed your religion. وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. And I have completed my favors upon you. ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. And I am happy with Islam as your religion. Not the Islam which we want, or sometimes we might want to adopt, or we might want to bring, but the Islam which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought down upon the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, the Sahabiyat, the Islam of that time. Again, many people today, the way people have moderate, so-called moderate Muslims, they say, but Maulana, we're in a time where we've got to move on from the days of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respected brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel, it hurts a Muslim, and it should hurt a Muslim, that how can you say we have to move on? Which, what, does that mean we change our way? Is that the way we change our lifestyle? Just because other people think our religion maybe is backward. Our religion isn't backward. If that was the case, then our religion is incomplete. You know, our religion is not complete. But Allah Ta'ala has made it, He's revealed it, it is complete. We have the complete religion, the complete message, the complete Quran, the complete deen, the complete Islam. We have the complete way which nobody else has, respected brothers and sisters. And for this reason, I was doing my little bit of research on Valentine's Day, where it started from. And the knowledge I got, that respected brothers and sisters, that Valentine's Day started in the days when, it started where from the days of the Romans really. Where they, in the days of the Romans, or before they embraced Christianity, the Romans, there was a law that the soldiers who used to go to war weren't allowed to get married. They weren't allowed to get married. So they can concentrate in the war, they can fight properly, because if they were married, if they had a wife and kids, it'd be difficult for them to take part in a battle. So the king of the time made a rule that no soldiers were allowed to get married at all. So there was this one saint called, before he became a saint, his name is Valentine, and he secretly used to get his soldiers married, because he didn't agree with what the king said. So the king of the time, the Roman king, found out that this is what Valentine's doing, so he put him into prison. And different narrations here that some people said he got executed in prison, some people said no, he wasn't executed in prison, Allahu A'lam. But that's history. But then when the Romans became Christians afterwards, then in remembrance of Valentine, they actually made a special day, which is the 14th of February, and he was named Saint Valentine. He was the one who although he used to get soldiers married, but in his remembrance, this is where it started from. And from then, obviously, it's changed a lot. And today, in this time and age, what we see that Valentine's Day, it's a massive multi-million pound business. All over the world, all you see is people selling flowers, cards, chocolates, all sorts of things. And there's more pressure on this day, not for the married couples so much, for those who are not married, for those students, boys, girls, to sort of take part in Valentine's Day, to find a lover, to go find a girl, to find a bloke, to go out, have a nice time, chill out, make the best of it. As people say today, you only live once, make the best of it. That's not our aspect of life. Our aspect of life is, yes, we only live once. And if we fail in this one chance which Allah Ta'ala has given to us, then brothers and sisters, we're in big, big trouble in the hereafter. And the hereafter, brothers and sisters, is not a fairy tale that You know, we're not going to stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Me and you, me sitting here, you sitting on the floor, we and you, we've all got to stand before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And we shall be accounted for each and everything which we did inside this dunya. Each and everything which we did in this dunya, we shall be accounted for. So we can't just have this attitude, well, Mawlana, just be relaxed a bit, chill out a bit. It's not my deen where I can say to you, just relax and enjoy yourself and do whatever you want. If it was my deen, maybe I would have said a few things, different things. But it's not my deen, it's the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was passed on to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this attitude where just chill and relax and, Mawlana, don't be too harsh on the people, don't be too harsh on the youngsters. Let them do things. The Quran says quite clearly, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. The Quran doesn't say don't do zina or don't commit fornication. The Quran says don't even go close to fornication. تَقْرَبُ means don't even go close to it. Don't go even near it, one bit near it. Okay? وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Why? The reason the Quran says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It is a very bad thing. Fahisha means something which is very, very bad. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and a very bad path to take of zina. And this is what the Quran says. Unfortunately today what the community says, what society says, what people say, illa mashallah, I'm not accusing any brothers or sisters over here for doing anything wrong at all. I don't have the knowledge and I don't have the right to say, accuse anybody. But what people today, we're not talking about non-Muslims here, we're talking about our Muslim brothers and sisters over here today, where majority of our boys and girls who go to schools, high schools, the pressure starts from primary school now. You get kids who go to school from the age of, who are in year 5 or year 6. You know, they're talking about boyfriends and girlfriends from such a young age. Then they go to the high schools, okay? And from there there's pressure that, you know, you don't have a girlfriend or you don't have a boyfriend, and there's something seriously wrong with you. Then you go to college, then the pressure increases even more upon you. And then you go to uni when you're away from your parents, and it's absolutely wonderful because your parents are not here to look over you. Then you got all the freedom in the world. You can do whatever you want, as Muslims think. And I know the Billah, one person who told me that most, in Leicester, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about other countries, but other cities, that just in Leicester alone, it was in the abortion clinic, we have more Muslim sisters coming there than other people, respectively. Somebody told me, because more Muslims come there. Now, why would somebody come there? It's not because they've been married and they don't want a kid anymore. It's the reason is, they've made a mistake. They've made a big mistake, you see. And they've let themselves down. They've let their deen down. They've let themselves down. And they go to the clinic, and because they feel ashamed and embarrassed to face the community, what am I going to say to my, what face am I going to show my parents? What face am I going to show my brothers and sisters, my community, my family? But what we forget is, what face are we going to show our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? This is something to think about. What face am I going to show my Allah on the day of Qiyamah? You know, I'm not saying mistakes don't happen. Mistakes do happen. One Sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have committed zina. Punish me." And whatever the had is, go ahead with it. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the Sahaba together. And in those days, they got a hole in the ground, and the Sahabas pelted this person, they stoned this person, and some blood must have come onto the clothes or the body of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Khalid said, "This filthy blood has come onto my clothes or body," he said. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't say this, because this person has made such a tawbah, if Allah was to distribute and spread his tawbah amongst the people of Medina and Makkah, Allah would forgive each and every person." So mistakes were also made by Sahaba. One is a mistake and you feel the guilt for it. One is you're going along with it and you're doing and you don't really care what people say. It's my life, I can do whatever I want. Nobody's saying it's not your life. I mean, nobody can force anyone to do anything. I'm here just to give a bit of advice and a bit of nasihat. Okay? Nobody can force anyone to do anything. If you want to live a life where you want to live a life where you want to go your way, then by all means go your way. If you want to live a life where you want to follow the ways of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then try to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as a person, as an adult, you've got to decide what's right for me and what's wrong for me. Which way, which path do I want to take? Do I want to take this path which is taking me to Jannah? Or do I want to take the other path which is taking me towards Jahannam? Which path do I have to take? By going on this Valentine thing, and believe it or not, I went Asda shopping today, and I was just looking for the flower section really, and I was just looking at the, I usually go shopping Asda, it's not that I went specially today. So I was going and then, I usually buy flowers for the house. So I was checking the prices out today, and the price had almost multiplied by 3 to 4 times more than its usual price. And one of the ladies was working on the counter. She goes, you know, she goes to me, these people are crazy. She goes, this woman came in this morning and she bought £304 worth of things from Asda, right? This is just today I'm talking about, right? So people go absolutely crazy. You know, just for one day of passion, a few minutes of, you know, enjoying yourself, right? And few minutes of enjoyment, that's all it is. Think about it, few minutes of enjoyment, that's all it is. Okay? You buy, take a box of chocolates for your girlfriend. You take a bunch of flowers. She might not even like the flowers in the first place. She might say they're not the wrong color, whatever. Right? And then you take a perfume for her. So you bought a box of, just get this right, you buy a box of chocolates for her, yeah? You buy some flowers for her. You buy a bottle of perfume for her. You might buy some, let's not go into details. You might buy some other things as well, right? You might buy some other things as well. Right? You've wasted around £100, right? Then you take it to her, she likes it, doesn't ask her to finish you altogether. For one day, you spent £100 minimum, and so that's the first guna. You've wasted money on things that's israf, and that is also haram in Islam to waste money. Secondly, you're imitating a kuffar. Let's go through the gunas one by one. First of all, you wasted your money. Point number one. Point number two, you're imitating the kuffar. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever you imitate, you should be raised with those people on the day of Qiyamah. Guna number two. Guna number three, you've got a girlfriend. Okay? Now, some people say, Mawlana Sahib, in this time and age, Mawlana Sahib, everybody has a girlfriend. Like, everybody has a girlfriend. You find me one guy who doesn't have a girlfriend. You find me one sister who doesn't have a boyfriend. Right? And they'll say, Master, you know there's some guys who haven't have beards have girlfriends. And you go, Master, your sisters have wear scarves who have boyfriends, right? If she wears a scarf, that's her problem. If he has a beard, that's his problem. He shall be questioned about that in the grave. That's not for me to judge. Okay, that's their problem. So they say, Mulana, everybody has a girlfriend. And it's impossible not to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. One of our ustads, respected ustads, he was telling us once that one brother came up to me and goes, Mawlana, I have a really, really big problem. Can you help me out? So he goes, yeah, what's your problem? How can I help you? He goes, Mawlana, how is it to kill somebody? So Mawlana said, killing somebody is guna kabira. It's a big, major, major sin. He goes, Mawlana, I've got a girlfriend. He goes, okay. He goes, I'm so deeply in love with her and she's so deeply in love with me. If I dump her and if I say, I don't want to go out with you anymore, she's going to die. So I'll be killing her. So I'll be committing gunah kabira. This is what people want for their own. See how the question was so cleverly put to the Mawlana. So the Mawlana answered, yeah, you're killing somebody which is haram. But for their own benefit, they asked this question. Now, respected business friends, I know it happens a lot. I know it happens a lot. But that doesn't make it permissible. Honestly, that doesn't make it permissible just because our mates have got girlfriends or some of our sisters, they've got boyfriends, doesn't make it permissible one bit, okay? You've got to remember, what is it? It's a few minutes of pleasure. That's all it is. It's just a few minutes of pleasure and it's a disaster for life. Honestly, it's a disaster for life. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned a hadith, when a person commits zina, okay, let me just go back a bit. How did it start off? It starts off with a bit of talking first. How are you, brother? Yeah, you're all right. How are you, sister? You're all right. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, how are your things going? Okay, not too bad. How's your studies? Yeah, how's your classes? How's the teacher? How's everybody in your family? Everybody all right? Yeah, everybody's fine. Right? So then after that, you meet up again next time. And then it starts with a further conversation. Yeah, is there any way I can help you with your coursework? And then this coursework and this coursework. And then it goes on to go a bit more. Then it becomes very strong. Then the feelings start. And then you start liking each other. So when you start off with talking. And then slowly, slowly, more and more and more, and then you become very close. Then Rasulullah has mentioned, when a Muslim commits zina, iman is taken out of them. Iman actually comes out from Muslim, right? And when they finish their zina, then iman is returned to the person's body. Now if, brothers and sisters, just think for a second. Everybody thinks it's never going to be me and it's never going to happen to me. This is what everybody thinks. Yeah, it might happen to so-and-so, it might happen to so-and-so, but it's not going to happen to me. I'm safe, I'm fine, I'll do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blah, 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 blah. You got to just, khuda na khasta, if it happened that we were sitting with our girlfriend in the car, driving down the road, music blasting in the car, and talking, having a nice, wonderful time, and khuda na khasta, if a car hits us from the back, and we die at that precise moment, you tell me, my respected brothers and sisters, what's going to happen to those people on the day of Qiyamah? The way you die, that's the way you shall be raised on the day of Qiyamah. The way you die, that's the way you shall be raised on the day of Qiyamah. These are the words of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that probably is the worst way to be raised on the day of Qiyamah, where we were doing guna in this world, and we raised before, and then we have to show our face to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have to show our face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was reading this today, one kitab, It's called Kitab al-Kabair, and it's got written all the major sins, all the major sins. And he said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went for Miraj and with Jibreel Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he was going, he crossed it's called a tanur in Arabic, but it's like an oven. It was tight from the top and open from the bottom, very vast from the bottom and tight from the top. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could hear voices coming up from there. So when they looked inside, they saw men and women, no clothes on, screaming and shouting. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Jibreel, who are these people?" Jibreel said, "Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these are those people in the world who used to commit fornication. Right? These are those people in the world who used to commit fornication." And respected brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say, this is what Valentine's all about. It's making the single, the ones who are not married, making them have a really, really, really good time, according to what these people think. Right? Because these people think this is it. This is the problem with today. These people think this is it. This is the life. There's nothing else to come in the hereafter. That's why most of the people don't believe in Allah. Most of the people don't believe in their religions. Forget Islam. Most of these so-called Christians don't even believe in Christianity. In fact, atheists are on the rise. People believe in no God at all because they don't believe in the afterlife. They don't believe that we're going to go into the qabr one day and we'll be questioning the qabr. They don't believe that they're going to be standing up before Allah Ta'ala and answering for all the things they did in the world. They don't believe in that. So they want to enjoy their life. They want to enjoy. And the way to enjoy it is to bring new and new things, new ideas. And Valentine is one of them, respected brothers and sisters. So it's, like I said earlier, it's a Roman thing. And then St. Valentine is remembered every single year, 14th of February comes. And I mentioned to you about the gifts. I'm sure some of you might have, maybe not none of you, might have received text messages this morning from different people. Happy Valentine's Day to so-and-so. If people say, sent so many thousands, so many, not thousands, millions of text messages are sent. Happy Valentine's to you, happy Valentine's to you. It's such a waste of money. Somebody might say, "Master, well, I've got 500 texts, free messages anyway, so I don't get no guna for it." Regardless, besides the point, you get free messages or you don't get free messages. By sending it, you still get guna for it. We are imitating the kuffar. Nice. This is one thing. We are imitating the kuffar. And respected brothers and elders, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for me and for you, for me and for you and for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his old ummah, he made so much sacrifice for all of us. He cried for us after every salah. He made dua for me and you after every salah. Okay? One sahabi said, "Ya Rasulullah," Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, "Tuba, good, glad tidings. So the sahabi said, "Ya Rasulullah, tuba liman, glad tidings for who, Ya Rasulullah?" The sahabi said, "For us?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No. For you once, but for those people who come after me, seven times glad tidings for them." And the Sahaba said, "Seven times glad tidings for them?" He goes, "Yes, the reason being because that you are my Sahaba, you saw me, you've got my company. So for you to bring Iman upon me is very easy. But there'll come people after me who won't see me, they will have heard about me, and they'll bring Iman upon them. For Tuba, Tuba, seven times glad tidings for people like me and you." And respect, brothers and friends. This Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he passed away, through the barakat of this one particular dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I think Allah Ta'ala has kept us intact, honestly. And I'll tell you why. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he passed away, the angel of death came down and said, "Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the angel of death has come. He's waiting outside. If you give him permission, he can enter your room." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave permission to the angel of death. The angel of death came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, it's the first time and the last time, it's the first time in my life that I've come inside somebody's house asking for their permission. Whenever somebody's time of death has come, I've always gone inside and taken a soul away without asking their permission. I've been told by Allah to ask you. And I've been told to ask you that, do you want to stay or do you want to come by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and goes, "Oh Jibreel, what shall I do? What shall I do?" Jibreel alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah ta'ala is very keen to meet you. Allah desires to meet you." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Jibreel, go back to Allah and ask Allah what Allah will do for my ummah after I pass away. Just ask me this, just ask Allah Ta'ala one thing." Jibreel alayhi sallam went back, came back with an answer. He goes, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala has said, Allah will look after your ummah. Allah will look after your ummah." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If that's the case, then I'm ready to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now the one alim said, this dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has saved people like me and you. Now I know what gunas I do. You brothers, sisters know what gunas you do. In the darkness of the night, in the daytime, in your own, when you're on your own, when you're with people, you know your gunas, I know my gunas. Bani Israel were told not to catch fish on a Saturday. Okay, they tried to get funny by putting the nets there and taking them on Sunday. For this, they were turned into monkeys. Okay, we, the gunas, now think to ourselves, what our gunas are far more worse than what Bani Israel did. Okay, they only started catching fish on the wrong day for that reason. We commit zina, we steal, we lie, we do all these gunas. But Allah Ta'ala is not catching us. This is the dua of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he said, nothing will happen to this ummah. And that's why we have to thank our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much. And it's our ihsan, it's his ihsan upon us. And we should repay him by following the ways of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Brothers and sisters, yes, temptations are many. Temptations are many. I'm not saying we are all going to be sin-free, because we can't be sin-free. As human beings, Allah has made inside us. Sometimes we want to do a lot of good things. Sometimes we can't control ourselves. We do a lot of gunas. I'm not saying we won't do gunas. We will do gunas. But when we do gunas, ask Allah for repentance straight away. Ask Allah for maafi straight away. Ask Him for forgiveness. In Bani Israel once, there was one youngster who lived in a town, and the people of Bani Israel got tired of him, sick of him, and they threw him out of town. They said, we've had enough of you, we don't want you going to the jungle. He used to commit a sin so openly that people threw him out of the town. Musa alayhi salam was alive at the time. A wahi came down to him and he said, oh Musa, there is my friend who's passed away in a certain jungle. I want you to go there. So Musa alayhi salam went to the jungle and he saw that youngster. And Allah told Musa, it goes, oh Musa, tell the people, whoever performs janazah namaz behind this person, Allah shall forgive them as well. So the people of Bani Israel, Musa made an announcement, people of Bani Israel came running, he goes, who is this pious person? When they came to the jungle, they saw this, the same youngster they kicked out of the village. So he goes, oh Musa, I think you've made a mistake. This is the same youngster who we kicked out, and you're telling us that if you praise janazah namaz, we're going to be forgiven. So Musa said, oh Allah, people are saying one thing, you're saying one thing, you have to explain. So Allah said, oh Musa, what they're saying is right. But at one time he was a very sinful person. And they threw him out. He came into the jungle. Whatever food he had, he ate. Whatever food he could find, he found. And when he ran out of food and water, there was nothing to eat or drink. And the time of death came close. He looked to the right, he looked to the left, he looked everywhere. And he said, ey Allah, he made one dua to Allah. He goes, ey Allah, people have thrown me out of my town and village and my house. Nobody likes me, Allah. I've got nobody to turn to, Allah. I'm asking you today, Allah, that all I'm asking you to forgive me and forgive all of my sins. He goes, oh Musa, when he turned towards me, and when he, with sincerity of his heart, he asked me, ey Allah, forgive me. From my enemy, he became my friend in a matter of a few seconds. And so such a friend that whoever praises janazah namaz, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them as well. Respect your brothers and sisters, that's all it takes to raise the hands and ask Allah, shed a few tears and say, Allah, we are Muslims, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, our life is so far away from your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's so far away from your commands, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, we turn towards you and Ya Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. And we ask you for repentance, Ya Allah, forgive. Allah is not one who won't forgive us, brothers and friends. And respect is Allah, you know, he's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahimin. Think about the gunas we've done. Think of the gunas we've done with our eyes. Okay. Think of the gunas we've done with our hands. Think of the gunas we've done with our tongue and our ears. Has Allah ever taken anybody's eyes away? Has Allah taken anybody's tongue out? Has Allah made anybody deaf? Any one of us deaf? Has Allah ever taken, you know, the ability to touch and hold? No. Allah's kept us intact. Because you know, it says in Hadith that the earth shouts, ey Allah, give me permission to swallow these people. The mountains shake. The sea says, ey Allah, give me permission to drown these people. The sky says, ey Allah, give me permission to make the wind go. Allah says, no, leave them. They are my servants. They are my servants. Whenever they turn to me, if they turn to me towards in the daytime, I'll forgive them in the daytime. If they turn towards me at nighttime, I'll forgive them at nighttime. My brothers, Allah is, we haven't recognized Allah. We don't know who are. Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahimin. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. Allah is very, very forgiving. Very, very forgiving. No matter how many gunas we commit, day and night, the hadith of Hadith al-Qudsi, which is mentioned, that from the earth to the sky, if Ibn Adam, and the reason it's mentioned is that no man can commit so many gunas. But Allah's given an example. From the earth to the sky, the empty space, if Ibn Adam commits so many sins, and then he says one day to Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah says, oh my servant, I just don't forgive you. I change your bad deeds into hasanat. I change them into good deeds as well. This is Allah's blessing upon people like me and you. Okay, we know how sinful we are. We don't need to tell people how gunagar and sinful we are. What I'm trying to say to you, respected brothers and sisters, is turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Stop yourself from this Valentine thing. Okay? No matter how much temptations you get, you want to buy... Those people who are married, if you want to buy flowers for your wife, by all means buy flowers for your wife. But not on Valentine's Day. By benefit, you're not competing in the kuffar, you're not imitating the kuffar. Second benefit, it'll cost you, it'll be cheaper for you. Third benefit, you can buy perfume, chocolates, whatever you want to do. You know, Islam doesn't say you can't buy chocolates for your wife or your husband or whoever. Not whoever, for your wife or husband. You got to, sometimes the slip of the tongue could be quite, people do catch you for the afterwards. So respect what I'm saying, if you're married, there's no harm in giving it. If somebody likes somebody, this is my last thing which I want to say before I finish. If somebody likes somebody, okay, look, we're all human beings, right? It's a natural thing Allah Ta'ala has made man and woman, okay, and it's eventually, although today, unfortunately, in this time and age now, even man and woman and woman has become a trend today. Allah Ta'ala, save God our iman, honestly. It's scary, it is very, very scary. You know the hadith where it says, in the morning a person will be mu'min, and in the evening they lose the iman. One hadith says, in the evening a person will be mu'min, by morning they lose the iman. You know, Muslims, you know, some Muslims are on the borderline of kufr, where they could go either way, and either way. Now these people are coming with new fashions, homosexuality is a trend, you know, you do it, it's good, try it, you know. It's amazing for them. They don't know which way to go. You know, they're trying new things, they don't know what to do with their lives. We have it. We have the secret weapon. The secret weapon is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Respect Muslims and elders, what I'm saying, and sisters, if you like somebody, rather than doing a trial for 6 months and 1 year to find out how good they are, how bad they are, do istikhara salah. Try the method of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You like somebody, perform istikhara salah. If it comes out yes, then talk to your parents and then say Bismillah if you have. Rather than going out, I know you might say, Mona, but it's so, we can't do it. How are we going to tell our parents? Then if you don't want to tell your parents, then don't do anything silly then, simple as that. Wait till the right time comes, right? Wait for the right time to come. First, besides, if you're going to get involved in all of this, it's going to harm your studies as well, right? You've come here to study, your parents have sent you here to study, so you can study well, get good grades, and then inshallah, get a good job at the same time, get married as well, inshallah. They haven't sent you here to have, you can have a chill, and relax, and enjoy life, and do whatever you want. That's not what they have sent you here for. They spent, I'm sure, from the day you've grown up, as you've been growing up, they spent a lot of money behind you as well, and they want the best for you. Now, like I said, yes, okay, we're coming here to study, but we've seen somebody we like. Then go away, go and do it the Islamic way. Okay? Islamic ways. Well, we could just ask them straightforward as well, if we think it's a good idea. Just go to say, I sort of like you, do you like me as well? And you'll get your answer straight away. She might hit you with a handbag or whatever it's going to be. But do it the proper way, do it the Islamic way. But don't go on. And like I said earlier, many people say, Monster, it's part and parcel of today's society, we have to go along. No, there's no such thing. Islam has ruled all of these things out. And there's no space for Valentine's, there's no space for zina, there's no space for fornication, and there's no space for any kind of adultery at all. Islam is clean, Islam is pure, Islam is a tahir, Islam is a very, very wonderful, wonderful religion. What we have, the last message, what we have, be proud of what you have, honestly. Be proud to be Muslims. Be happy to be Muslims. We should be the most happiest people, because we have everything. And if we haven't got chain and sukun, and if we haven't got tranquility in our hearts, then think that what am I doing wrong that Allah Ta'ala hasn't given me peace of mind? Maybe I'm not praying my namaz properly. Maybe I haven't got a beard. Maybe I am remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Maybe I ain't doing this. Think about what you're doing, what's missing. And go to a scholar, go to people, go, you know, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will guide you through. But I can say Allah Ta'ala, all of you have come here, some of you are from Leicester, some of you are from outside Leicester. I mean, whatever you've come here for, may Allah Ta'ala grant you your desires, inshallah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala you the best in all your studies. But it's important with dunya comes with deen as well. Don't just make it dunya, 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 but combine it. And inshallah, Allah will give you barakah in your studies as well, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala will give you success in this world and also here, in the hereafter, inshallah Ta'ala. I had a lot more to say, but I think I'm out of time at the moment. It's approaching 20 past 7. Brother Uthman has requested me that, to just talk about parents. I'll be touching it for 5 minutes. Respected brothers and respected sisters, parents are probably the greatest asset we have. The ones who have their parents, their father, their mother, there is nothing greater in the world than our respected and honourable parents. We sometimes, as youngsters, we don't sometimes appreciate that. And we sometimes think, our parents do come in our way of maybe enjoying our life. It's when our parents leave this world, when Allah Ta'ala makes them, when they go from this world, that's when we realize I've lost my mother, how special my mother was, and how special my father was. They're a very, very special ni'mat upon us. And we should do qadr of them, and we should look after our parents, and make dua for our parents. Like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah, the way my parents looked after me, when I was small, Allah, did you look after them as well? This is the dua we should be making for our parents after every single salah, every single salah. Parents, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that close to Qiyamah, people will prefer their friends more than their own fathers. They like their mates. Mates are wonderful. But when it comes to father, you're a bit old-fashioned, you don't know what's going on in the world. You know, I know what's right. Now, as soon as we become cleverer than a father or a mother, respected brothers and friends and sisters, our parents are not our enemies. This is one thing we need to remember. Our parents are not our enemies. They're the most valuable thing Allah has given to us. If we hurt our parents' feelings, okay, if we hurt our parents, then even if we become the most pious person of the time, and we've hurt a mother's feelings and a father's feelings, then we can never, never, never get success in this world or the hereafter. And there's an example in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a Sahabi displeased his mother, at the time of death he was unable to read the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Hazrat Alqama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So respected brothers and respected sisters, never ever talk back to our parents. If our parents say something to us, and sometimes our parents are in the wrong, I'm not saying our parents are always in the wrong, sometimes our parents are in the wrong, sometimes they think we've done something, or they think we're doing something, and they might say something to us, but no, with respect, lower your voice and never speak loudly in front of our parents. Always keep your voice down. If you want their blessings, because once our parents leave this world, you will never find somebody who will be like a mother. And you will never ever find anybody who will be like your father as well. No, nobody. You're not your best friend, not your own brother, not your own sister, not your own khala, your uncle, your aunt, nobody. A father is a father and a mother is a mother. They are the greatest ni'mat, honestly. That's what the Quran says so clearly, that you know, look after your parents. When Allah has mentioned His right as well, Allah's, on a lot of occasions Allah said, and look after your parents, and look after your parents, and look after your parents. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, Ey Allah, who's going to be my partner in Jannah? So Allah said, oh Musa, go to a certain village, there's a butcher there, he's going to be your partner in Jannah. So Musa alayhi salam went to this butcher's place. The butcher didn't know that this was Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam said, I'm a traveler, can I come with you? So he goes, by all means. So the butcher packed up, put his meat away, put some meat in a little bag, went home. He told Musa, "Samir, you can stay in my house, sit in this room." He went home, he cut the meat, he cooked the meat, and then there was this old woman, very old woman. So Musa says that, "I was watching this young man, he cut the meat, made it into small pieces, and he started feeding this old woman, little bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit." Musa said, "I kept on watching. Right at the end, when she finished her food, I saw the woman's lips move. So I said to the young man, he goes, I saw you feeding that lady. Who is that lady?" He said, this is my mother. And he goes, what did she say to you at the end? He goes, oh Musa, my mom's a little bit crazy. She always says to me, may Allah Ta'ala make Musa and you in Jannah together. So Musa said, oh young man, I am Musa. Allah Ta'ala has accepted your mother's dua, because you shall be my sati in Jannah. So respected brothers and sisters, if we want our parents' duas, and remember one thing, parents' duas go straight to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any kind of delay, they go straight to the arsh of Allah. If we please them, look after them, care for them, you know, do things for them, then inshallah Allah will give us Jannah. And inshallah, through their du'as, inshallah, our studies will be good as well, inshallah. It's very, very important when we go back home. And just because we have new friends in university or colleges, that we don't forget our parents. Always pray for our parents. If our parents have passed away, one of them or both of them, then we should try to read Yasin for them, three surahs for them. Any nafil ibadah you do, any nafil, all you have to do is make intention, Ya Allah, whatever I am doing, whatever I'm reading, pass it on to my parents. Because now they've left the world, they can't do anything at all. They can't even read the word Subhanallah once. They can't even say Alhamdulillah once. They can't even say Allah Akbar once. They rely on people to send them sawab and reward. So whatever, if our parents have passed away from this world, then we should reward them by sending them Yasin. Whatever is easy for us, even if it's a smaller, shorter surah from the Holy Quran, whatever we can read, pass it on to us, inshallah, our parents will become extremely, extremely happy, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice what has been said. although we started a bit late, around 22:06, we've been talking for 40 minutes. I hope, inshallah, the message is going to... Like, it wasn't a bayan, it wasn't a lecture, it was just more of a sort of discussion. And if any brothers and sisters have any questions you want to put to, you don't have to if you don't want to. But if you have any questions, you're most welcome to put your questions forward.
How don't pray normal istikhara salah? Is it like you have to say anything specific while you pray?
Istikhara salah is after Isha salah. You need to look at nafil namaz, which is called salat istikhara, and then after that, before going to bed, you read your istikhara dua. And then inshallah, people say that you have to see a dream. You don't have to see a dream. It's how you feel when you wake up in the morning. You should try to be neutral as much as you can, because if you want to do something, and it's in your head, I want to do it, then you're going to see yourself doing it in your dream, and you're going to think, well, my istikhara means yes. But try to be open-minded and ask Allah for guidance, to say Allah, if it's right for me or wrong. If you don't see it on the first day, you can continue with this for 7 days, and inshallah, within 7 days, Allah will put something in your heart, inshallah. There's a question, is perfume and aftershave containing alcohol halal in Islam? Now, most of these aftershaves and deodorants which they have, especially the Lynx one, it's the alcohol which it contains, it's not actually the alcohol, so you can actually use them, and there's no harm in that at all, okay, so it's no problem at all. But for sisters who use perfume, it's only sort of permissible to use it if when you're married and in front of your husbands. If you're using perfume to come into universities and you can smell it halfway down the corridor, then Islamically that is not permissible at all, at all. Nobody? I think everybody's done. Just friends, it's tough. It's a tough one. I know sometimes you have to sit and discuss and talk over certain issues over your course or whatever. I think if you can avoid it, it's better. If you can avoid it, it's better. Because when you're together in one place, Shaitan is always the third person. Shaitan is always the third person. All sorts of thoughts come inside the heart. No matter how good your intentions are. But it's sometimes very, very difficult. Few interesting questions here. It says, what do you do if your parents want you to marry someone and you don't want to? I think it would depend on why you don't want to. Over here it's written because the person isn't a practicing Muslim. Now, every mature man and lady has the right, their own right to marry who they wish to get married to. What I will say though is, when you have love for the very first time, as they say, love is blind, and everything looks really, really nice about the person you see. You, the walk and the way they talk and the way they write and the way they eat and everything seems so wonderful and romantic. Now, if it's unfortunately in our culture sometimes, our Asian culture, our culture sometimes takes over Islam as well. In our culture sometimes our parents say, no, you have to get married to your uncle's son or your uncle's daughter or your so-and-so, you have to go back to India, Pakistan or Bangladesh, whatever it may be. Now, the truth is you have the right to refuse and say to your parents, look, mom and dad, I don't want to get married to this person. But it's got to be in a respectful way. I must stress, you can't shout or scream at them and say, look, no, tell them nicely, sit them down. If they still don't listen, because in my time I have dealt with quite a few cases where it's been pretty tough. And it gets very, very tense in it, very, very tense. Sometimes it can be resolved quite easily. Sometimes, unfortunately, it isn't. Then you need... then I think it's best to get the local imam involved in this from your mosque, who can talk to your parents and maybe advise them on the right thing and how they should go about it. Because taking it in your own hands by running away, many people think that running away is a good option, we'll go run away from home. But then again, you're hurting your parents' feelings. Then you might say, well, my parents are hurting my feelings because I want to get married to so-and-so. But like I said, contact your local imam and inshallah, hopefully something can be sorted. But in short, you can't be forced in marrying somebody you don't want to get married to. But like I said, don't just say that and try to work around it, and inshallah things will work out, inshallah. Please highlight the attributes one must look for in a partner before marriage. Interesting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعْ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاذْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَلِبَتْ يَدَاكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That a woman should look at four things. A man should look at four things in a woman before he gets married. A man usually looks at four things. He looks at her, he looks at the money, he looks at the background, he looks at the beauty, and her deen. And Nabi Sassam said, فَاثْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَلِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Oh Abu Huraira, make sure you go for deen rather than anything else. Deen is the most important thing, and I'll tell you why. Another hadith says, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا مَتَاءَ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاءِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. The best thing in this whole wide world which you can have is a pious, obedient woman. That's the best you can have in your house. And believe me, respectable friends and sisters, that is the best you can have. If you have a woman in your house, I'm not just criticizing women, I will come back to the men in a bit, inshallah. If you have a woman who you've just gone for the looks, you've just gone for it, and you found her absolutely stunning, and you thought she's an absolute bombshell, and you thought she's absolutely wonderful, right? Believe you me, honestly, believe you me, she'll leave you stunned for the rest of your life as well, honestly, right? There are cases out there at the moment. They are honestly, as an imam, I've been imam for quite a few years in Esther now, that for small, petty things, talaqs have been taking place. And it's not just one talaq, it's like three talaqs. I'm giving you all three on one spot here. I'm the man, I'm giving you all three talaqs. Now, that's not a way to have a marriage. You know, you've got to learn what is marriage, first of all. You know, look at the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he used to live with Azwaj Mutahharat. You know, sometimes, once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Aisha got into an argument. And you know what Hazrat Aisha said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You call yourself a prophet? You know, this is Hazrat Aisha. She said, you call yourself a prophet? Now, if my wife said to me, oh, you call yourself a Molly Sahib, I'd probably go up in flames, right? And right? This is Hazrat Aisha saying to his, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Just smiled. You know, you're not going to get you're not going to get everything perfect. But what you need to go for is go for the deen, go for Islam. Before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Nabi Sassam went for namaz and he had a severe headache. He passed Hazrat Aisha's house, and Hazrat Aisha and Nabi Sassam didn't visit her that day. So Nabi Sassam popped in after namaz. She said to him, oh yeah, you're just waiting for me to die. So when I die, you're going to get married to somebody else. Now this is Hazrat Aisha speaking to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if the women of Nabi Sallallahu can speak to Nabi Sallallahu like that, then I don't see why, you know, sometimes our women can say a few things to us as well. But that doesn't mean that we have to say talaq, talaq, talaq for every single thing. So look for piety in a woman. Look, if she's beautiful at the same time, but okay, you know, we all like to have a pretty wife and a beautiful wife. If Allah gives you beauty and you have a pious wife, alhamdulillah. If you have a woman who's wealthy as well and a good background and all four qualities, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur, no problem at all. But these are the qualities a man should look inside a woman. Most importantly, it's got to be deen. And for a woman, in a man as well. You can look for a man who, don't just look for a hunk, that yeah, this guy is very hunky, he's got a lot of muscle and everything. That's not everything important inside a husband. Look at his deen as well. Look that if he's going to care for you, he'll look after you, he'll show you muhabbat and love the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to care for his azwaj mutahharat as well. These are the most important things. You look, you know, don't just look for his car, he's got a nice house, okay, and he's got a nice car. And you know he's got the work, so what you're there, you're going for the money rather than going for his akhlaq or he's going for his Islam. So the sisters should also look at a brother's deen, which is the most important thing, and akhlaq as well. And one last question, it says, just say a brother likes a sister, but similar to the family disapproves of her, how should he approach his parents about her? And his istikhara came out with a yes. So the istikhara has already been done, but they've not approached the parents, from my understanding of this question. I think sometimes it's a good idea to ask the parents first and then do istikhara. Reason being, if you get close to each other, very close to each other, and then your parents say no, and they're sticking to no, because you've come so close to that person already, then it becomes very, very difficult to stay apart from that person, right? So once, like I said earlier in my talk, if you like somebody, go about it the right way. Talk to your parents, and then if they say yes, then they maybe do istikhara. But don't hang around for 6, 7, 8 months, 1 year, and then decide to do istikhara. I mean, go ahead straight away. What I will say, which one point I did forget, that if anybody is involved, somebody has got a boyfriend, and somebody has got a girlfriend, what I would say to those brothers and sisters is, you know, for Allah's sake, is you should do something about it, i.e. try to dissolve this relationship, try to... I'm not saying go today after the bayan and say I dump you because I heard the Mawlana's bayan today, right? I'm not saying you do stuff like that. All I'm saying in a nice, decent way, because you've got to remember, but you might say, Mawlana, but I'm going to break her heart, she's going to cry and everything, and tissues and everything, whatever. But that's beyond what you've got to look at is your hereafter. You've got to look at your qabr, you've got to look at your hashar, and you've got to look at the Afghanistan before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And same for the sisters as well. If you've got yourself involved with a brother, then you should tell them in a very nice way. Either we get married or we end the whole relationship. It's simple as that, really. And inshallah, if you do this, inshallah, then things will be for the better. Jazakumullah khair.